Thank you for your music today. When Jesus called his disciples, it's interesting that he went to men who were very successful in professions. We know there were a number of professional fishermen. We know that there was a doctor. There was a tax collector, which would have been like a bureaucrat in politics of those days. There were others who we don't know their profession, but clearly Jesus knew if he was going to build a team of people who could carry this message forward, he needed to have professional people. Even Judas, who was a finance guy, he needed professional people. And so today we're going to focus on what it means to be a Christian within the marketplace, because God calls each of us to be high quality in our profession if we want to be people of influence. It's not an excuse to be second rate just because you're Christian. If you want to be a Christian who has influence in the marketplace, be really good at that job in the marketplace. And Ronnie Agnew is one of those people, and we are privileged to have him here today. He is the leader in Mississippi in communications, and we're going to talk a little about that, but also a very significant national leader with public broadcasting system. And would you welcome Ronnie Agnew? We're going to have a conversation this morning. Ronnie is the executive director of the Mississippi Public Broadcasting System. I first got to know him when he was the editor of the Clarion Ledger. And he was awfully nice to me as a new president here in town, which I appreciated, and didn't send the investigative reporters after me, so thanks a lot. tell us, you know, PBS, I assume everybody knows the difference between PBS and broadcast, but, you know, we've got PBS and broadcast, and we've got everything that happens in cable, and how has that industry changed? What exactly do you do? Tell us that.
Well, first of all, I am thrilled to be here. I had the pleasure of doing chapel probably 10, 12 years ago with Dr. Parrott, and that was a blessing to me. You blessed me more than you can ever imagine. And since then, been a little transition in my life, and I think we'll talk about that, but I was the editor of the Clarion Ledger. I moved back to Mississippi to be editor of my statewide newspaper. The testimony goes that I never thought I would ever see the state again. My career was actually going really well, and I was actually headed toward, I thought, the New York Times, but God had a different plan for me. And then after 11 years at the Clarion Ledger, he had another different plan for me. When that industry started to change, and we'll talk about that later, I guess, I received a call from Mississippi Public Broadcasting. And I have to confess that when you work at the Clarion Ledger, it is all hands on deck. It is a long week, it's a long day. There's a lot of news in Mississippi, and at the time, the Clarion Ledger pretty much had circulation in all of Mississippi's 82 counties. So it's quite the thing. But when I got asked to do Mississippi Public Broadcasting, I'm the executive director of MPB, if I can say that word. We are one of only about 25 statewide networks in America in the PBS system, which means that most of my colleagues have a radio station or a television station or some component of education, but Mississippi did it right. We are so blessed to have everything under one roof. We have radio, television, we have education, we have finance, we have news. We have all multiple departments, and that's pretty rare in public broadcasting, and it was actually the foresight of people like Senator Thad Cochran's father is a co-founder of MPB, Mississippi ETV at the time. And so that's sort of the background about MPB. But as executive director, it's really my job to make sure all of those pieces work together. Kind of like my friend over here. It's his job to make sure that the university operates efficiently and is a good steward of finances and all those things. So I have taken a different role. I was editor of the Clarion Ledger, where I was focused strictly on the news operation. But now at MPB, I'm really mostly focused on the business aspects of running the place.
And how many employees do you have, and what's the budget to
operate? We have a little over 100 employees. We probably have another 50 or so contract employees, people who go out and do documentaries for us and things of that nature. We probably need your help if y'all can think of good ideas, because I love good ideas. And so we have that. And we also, here's the thing, though. We have about anywhere between $75 and $100 million in infrastructure around the state of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. We have 8 massive towers. The smallest, I think, is 1,000 feet, and the tallest, I think, is 1,500 feet. And I remember when I first got here, they told me that, oh, we don't have de-icers on our towers because it never freezes in Mississippi. Well, guess what happened? What's happened in my 7 years at MPB? Every single year it's frozen because it's colder up there than it is down here. So it's a lot to manage. Yesterday, our phone system at our radio area, where basically people can call into our shows, it just went out yesterday, and it was $10,000. So our tools are expensive. They're very expensive tools, but I can tell you this, I am so gratified to be leading your state's public broadcasting system. It is a God thing. It is a God thing. I never thought I would ever be in this position, but God saw fit to. I've always allowed Him to direct my path. I've always allowed God to tell me what He wanted me to do versus what I wanted to do. And when I do it, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to mess it up every single time. But if I get before Him, and if I ask Him, Lord, what would you have me to do? He leads and guides me every single time. And you know what happens when that happens? There's increase in it. Mm-hmm. It's an easy thing because you have the anointing to do it. He's placed inside of you something special so that you can do this job and do these, talk to people and go in different places. The gift that God has given me is to be able to go in any situation and connect with people. Mm-hmm. And that is a gift. I see a lot of people struggle with that, but I don't do that. And I tell you, that's why I'm here. I come here, guys, because I want you guys to know that you sit there as students, right? And some of you, I don't know what year you are in college. I don't know if you're freshmen or to seniors. I don't know. But a lot of you guys think, okay, I got time to get this right. For folks who are not walking that straight path with God, you think you got time to get it right. Well, I'm young. I'm only 20. You know, God will give me another 3 or 4 grace years before, you know, I'll buckle down and try to really have a relationship with Him. Well, you know, these are the last days, and we don't have that time. We have to get it right with God right now. And that's what I tell my own children. My own children are 23, 25, and 27. And they're probably tired of Dad telling them that, but I mean it to my core. You have to have your own walk with Him. When you were with me in my house, I taught you. I taught you the right way. But now it's on you, Chris, Victoria, and Rachel. It's on you to do this. And for you to have your own walk with Him. Because I tell you what, I travel this country extensively. I'm so glad this worked out. I leave tomorrow for a week. I'm going to be in Baltimore for several days, and then I just got to go right on over on the train to Washington, D.C. So I'll be gone for the next week and a half. So I was just so ecstatic to see that it was November 6th and I could do this because this was important to me. It was important for me to be here with you guys today. I really, truly mean that from the bottom of my heart.
God has, and you're expressing it, that the trust in Him for the next step has just opened up all these opportunities. And one of those is you serve on the national board of PBS, which guides the whole country. Now, you know, that's pretty amazing. I'm sure you meet some amazing people. First of all, have you met Big Bird in person? I mean, you know, but tell us about your national influence with PBS.
So let me give you a quick story. I grew up in rural Mississippi, Lee County, Mississippi. I don't know how many folks are from that part of the state, but we literally, there was no such thing as cable in my house at the time. We had 2 channels. We had NBC and we had PBS. And I would watch PBS, and I'd watch Mr. Rogers, and I would watch Sesame Street, and I would watch all the shows that had come to shape my life, even today. And I actually have to pinch myself to say that when I'm in that room with the National Board of Directors for PBS, I have to every single time, and I did 3 years with that on that board, and they just reelected me to another 3-year term, which I'm so ecstatic about, because you're talking to people at a very high level. You're talking to people about policy that's going to affect the entire country on what PBS offers. You know, everybody, some of you guys probably watched Downton Abbey, which was our flagship show for a number of years, and Podark has now taken that slot. But we you know, that's what we do. We strategize about what America wants. And, you know, the one thing that we got to get better at, to be honest with you, is we'd have to get younger. Most of our audience is an older audience, and it's my desire that if PBS has an older offering, it's my desire to kind of to fill that gap with local content. But it is a really big deal to be on the PBS board of directors. A lot of general managers across the country, executive directors across the country, would love to be on that board. But I feel blessed that my colleagues have twice overwhelmingly elected this little kid from South Tulsa, Mississippi.
You know, clearly when you were 20 years old, you didn't expect to be in this position today. But when you were 20 years, tell us about your faith journey, though, because I'm sure that took a lot of surprises from what you expected as well. So,
well, my faith journey is simple. You know, my mom and dad were all into the church, so they thought, there were 9 of us now, 9 kids. My daddy was a little busy, little daddy, wasn't he? 9 children in a 14-year window. So, so they were so big in the church. So the Agnew kids were expected to be active, so active. So every night of the week, there was something going on in the church. Every night of the week. One Monday night was missionary night. Tuesday night was men's meeting. Wednesday night was choir practice. You know what? When I got out of high school, I was like, I will never darken another church a day in my life. I am never going back to church. I'm so tired of church. I got more God in me than I ever expected to have, and I need a break. So I'll go to Ole Miss, and I try to do that. I took a break from church, but I tell you one thing: there was always something leading me back. Even though my faith was not where it should have been at the time, it always took me back. And by the time I got out of Ole Miss, I knew that I couldn't do without God. But with that said, I still was a knucklehead. So I graduate and I get a job, and I get a couple of jobs, and I moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, where I was a reporter. And, you know, once again, I'm out there partying and having a great old time, I thought. But along the way, I got promoted. I got promoted to be one of the middle managers at the newspaper. But I'd always known that I wanted to be a senior manager. And in the Gannett Corporation, they didn't allow you to practice on their large papers. And Cincinnati was one of their large newspapers. So they said, well, Ronnie's from Mississippi. Let's send him back home and let him work on his senior management skills. So they sent me to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, the Hattiesburg American. And I said, you know what? God, I'm sorry. I guess I made you mad to send me back down here because I wasn't going down here. I told you earlier I thought I was going to the New York Times. Hattiesburg, Mississippi was not on the plan. So I get to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and my faith walk was 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And you know what the Bible says about that? Be you hot or cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth is what the word says. And I was definitely that. So I get to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and I meet this couple, Clement and Jackie Ector. Clement Ector played football at the University of Southern Mississippi back in the day with a quarterback by the name of Reggie Collier, who some of you might remember. He was a phenomenal athlete. And he had found Jesus, and he had become a pastor. And we befriended them, my family, befriended them. And man, I got a chance to see someone who walked with the Lord every day. It was a part of what they did every day. And every time, I thought I was going to Hattiesburg for journalism to help me get to the next level. I was going there for Jesus. I laugh about it now. And then that's when my faith walk got to be a solid faith walk. And I learned that I couldn't do without Jesus. I learned that I wanted to know more of him. I learned that I needed to get into the scripture to know him for myself and not for my mama, who loved the Lord. I would often find my mama back in quiet places in a house, dark at night when there was nobody around, and I would stumble onto her in the dark at night, and my mom would be crying. And I was like, oh, my mama. You guys need to know my mom passed away at 54 years old from just the lack of health care. And I would see her, and I would be frightened because I knew she had a heart condition. And I was like, mama, are you sick? No, mama was just praising God. Mm-hmm. So I always had the example of people who walked in faith. And so when I met Clem and Jackie, and they would probably love to know that I'm talking about them and hold them in such high esteem, because I don't even know that they know the impact they had on my life. But all the things that I was taught as a kid from my mom and dad, all the things that I was taught by just really men and women of God just consumed me. And then I said, I will never be the same again. I was at a church in Birmingham, Alabama, a few weeks ago, and a pastor, this is a big church, 2,000 people were there, and he saw me in the third, fourth row, and he'd never seen me before, and he called me up front, and he said, you have always tried to fit in. Mm-hmm. You have always tried to be one of those people who was trying to be cool, I think it was the word he used. He said, but you were never cool, because God has always had his hand on you. Mm-hmm. He has always taken you and sifted you apart from the rest so that you can be used for his kingdom. And so how does that relate to now? How does that relate to what I'm doing now? I hope to be a light for Jesus. Mm-hmm. I hope that wherever I go and whatever circumstance that I'm in, that I'm a light, that it shines, that sometimes, you know, you have to locate people where they are, that even people who may not be, everywhere I go, people think that I'm like a pastor of a church. And it's only because of the light they see in my life. And that's what you all, that's the challenge I issue for you. A lot of you, like I said, a lot of you guys think that you have time to get things right. I say, get things right now. Develop your own walk with the Lord. Develop your own relationship with him. And he will give you the desires of your heart.
That's good. You know, about a third of our students are in the arts or communications. And those fields often are, if you raise your hand and say, I'm a Christian, it's like, you're out. We don't want you. Mm-hmm. So what would your advice and counsel be to students, and not just in those fields, though, in business? I've got a good friend who got fired from one of the top investment companies in the world because he was too visible about his faith. So how do you find that balance that mm-hmm. it's worked for you? Now, everybody's going to be different, but how mm-hmm. has it worked for you to live out that faith, you know, Monday to Friday in the job?
You know, when I was at the Clarion Ledger, I knew that I had a lot of people who were not people of faith. And I knew that I was, as the leader, you do have to be careful. But I knew that I was not going to compromise my own beliefs. And I knew that that's why I talk about the light so much. I know that whenever I used to encourage people to bring themselves to work, and I used to go around the room sometimes and say, what did you learn about your weekend? What did you learn about your city this weekend? And a lot of times when it came back to me, I talked about the church because it gave me the right forum to do so. I think that don't compromise in the workplace. Don't settle in the workplace. You know what I find about the world? The world is bold. They'll tell you anything. They'll say, they feel empowered to tell us anything as Christians, and we're just supposed to be able to say, oh, that's fine, that's great, that's wonderful. But, you know, don't ever let people not know who you are and whose you are. You have to always do that. So people come around me, you know, people who would use profanity, they don't use profanity. And what, it's kind of funny when they do, they always apologize, you know, because they know that that's just not the way. God has given me a new language, you know, so they know that's not the way I do it. But I'm just telling you, I do it through my actions and my walk and my talk. Kindness shown, compassion shown. There are people who probably should not be under my employ right now who did some things probably over the years who probably deserve to be dismissed. But that's how I manage. I manage through what God tells me to do. I don't make knee-jerk decisions about personnel issues or things of that nature. I consult him. And I can tell you, there's one example that I'm not going to mention any specifics, of a person who really came close to being dismissed. Now that person's one of the top people we have. Mm-hmm. If you have a love of God in your heart, if you control your anger. Now I got to tell you this, Dev, about this is true. We are human. We do have a flesh, and we do have to tame our flesh daily. So I'm not sitting here saying that I'm perfect, that every once in a while I don't get upset. I do. But I think it's more so disappointment than being upset. But what I will not do is I will not go back to where I was. So every situation that I have to handle will be handled through the eyes of Christ and what he would do. And I got to tell you, it's easier said than done. Because you are going to be challenged in the workplace by all kinds of things. You're going to see all kinds of people. You're going to see people who are going to try to get you to stumble. But you have to stand firm. You have to stand firm on the word. But you can't stand firm on the word if you don't know it. So you got to know Jesus for yourself. So if you're not comfortable reading like scripture after scripture, whatever your situation is, and this is what I do right now, whatever my situation is, I try to study it out. And I realize this, that I'm still very much a work in progress. Believe it or not, I'm the shyest guy in the world. And this is why I say God has a sense of humor. Because for me to even be up here talking to you right now, I'm the shyest guy in the world. My wife says, you're crazy. I'm shy. There's nothing wrong with it. But I really, truly am. But you know what I like about that? Is I can't do this or even talk to you in my strength. It's in his strength. Yeah. Yeah. He gives me what I need. When I ask my father, my father who was in Tupelo, Mississippi, I talk to my father in heaven just like I talk to him. I say, Daddy, I need you right now. That's what I said. I was in the car for 15 minutes before I even came inside the building saying, Dad, what would you have me to say to these students today? I'm relying on you. Good. It's got to be you. This is not about me. It's got to be you. And so many of you come to me for help. Not four or five times a week, I get emails from students saying, Mr. Agnew, can you help me with this and can you help me with that? And most of the time, if I'm not traveling, I drop everything to try to help a student.
That's great.
Because somebody needed to help me.
That's great.
Coming from a background of parents who were Mississippi sharecroppers picking cotton, parents who went to like the fourth or fifth grade, there's really no reason for me to be sitting here right now but God. Do you know that my birthday is October 10th, 1962? If you want to do the math, I didn't just turn 56, so don't even try. But do you know that October 9th, 1962, my mom was in the cotton field? Mm-hmm. The next day, she was just too sick to go. So I look at my life as a living testimony for the power of God and what he can do with people who came from very meager circumstances, and he'll take you, he'll put you with kings and queens. Mm-hmm. That's what the word says.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you work at such high levels, but I want to ask you one question before we finish up, because I've watched you for all these years.
Yes.
And I think I told you when you were when you're editor of Clarion Ledger, you get more hate mail than I've ever gotten before breakfast than I've gotten in my whole life.
Yes.
So I don't know how you do it. But a lot of people will attack you from the newspaper. They'll attack you for PBS. They'll attack you for whatever they don't like. How do you deal with discouragement, and how do you deal with disagreements that turn them to dialogues?
Well, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy dealing with that, because especially when you're a Christian, you know, I desire peace. I desire joy. I wish those things could always be in the workplace, but they can't. But you know, the word says this, I'm not going to bring it down with this, but you need to know this. And I don't even know if Dr. Parrott knows this. In the last 4 years of my life has been turned upside down. And it's not even at work, it's personal. My college sweetheart, person I dated since I was 20 and she was 19, no longer wanted to be married. Married for almost 29 years. On February 9th, 2018, my 8-year-old grandson went home to be with the Lord. So there's gonna be attacks and there's gonna be trouble in this life. But I have to keep my eyes on Jesus. I have to keep, because if you don't, you'll be crazy. The world will beat you up. Circumstances will beat you up. Disagreements will beat you up. All those things. But if you keep your eyes focused on Him, you win. You'll be victorious. And I'll say this. As a manager of people, you're going to have issues. So as a manager of people, I have to deal with those issues. But I know that because of my Christian faith, I'm able to deal with them in ways that maybe a person who is not a person of faith, how they probably will handle it differently. But so every problem I see is a real legitimate problem. This is a big university. I know that my friend has issues that come across his desk that he has to deal with it. And I know my friend loves the Lord. But that does not absolve us from having to do our jobs. And that's what we have to do it. But we do it in a Christian way.
Good, good. We want to pray for you. And we have a benediction we share together every week. And we're going to pray it for you today, okay? And would you join me in our prayer, and let's pray this benediction for Ronnie Agnew, who is communicating so much to our community, setting policy for our country, in shaping culture. And let's pray this, and then I'll close us in prayer after we pray this for you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Lord, you have given Ronnie Agnew an opportunity and a preparation to do things that he never could have imagined or seen. And in these chairs today, in this auditorium, are students that you are going to do things in their lives they never could imagine you will do. Help them to walk by faith, to understand it's not always a straight line, but as Ronnie shared, to keep their eyes on you. And when we are focused on you, you do lead our paths, you correct our ways, and you lead us into where you can use us for your glory and honor. We thank you for this discussion today and this time and this inspiration from this life that has been opened up to us today, that we can see inside how you have worked in him so divinely. In your name we ask it. Amen. Have a good day.